A time when recollections can be reduced to just a few words, Gene Shepherd delivered monologues, soliloquies, and musings. He was a raconteur.
Okay, you guys, you're in the Army. All right, you're in the Army. We have just sworn in, you know, that wonderful swearing-in ceremony where Van Johnson talks and the guys cry? The thing where they play the Star Spangled Banner? It's all over. We've just stood as you're in the Army. We didn't hear anything.
That's Gene Shepherd recollecting the moment he became a soldier in the U.S. Army that would storm the beaches of Normandy and raise the Stars and Stripes over Iwo Jima in World War II, although Gene Shepherd and his unit would never see the front lines. They were the home front army, stocking, restocking, sending, schlepping, and training for a war they helped win, but from a distance. Over his career as a humorist, entertainer, and late-night voice on the radio, Gene Shepherd would occasionally cast back to his time as a soldier, where he was more like Beetle Bailey than John Wayne.
And we stood around, he says, "Get out, out, there's another bunch coming in!" And they pushed us out the other end of the door. And another bunch of guys came in, didn't know what. And so one or two of us hollered, "Hey, they're going to give you the oath. Hey, follow the oath." And a couple of guys, you could see their eyes brighten a little bit. And then that mumbling started again up in the front. Gradually, we went down out on the street, and it's raining. And it's all over. All over. I am now in the Army. I'm one with Errol Flynn and Don Ameche, the Rangers, the guys that took Dieppe.
It was that voice on the radio and famous essays that enthralled millions in the times before bites, sound bites, and tweets. A collection of Gene Shepherd's Army stories has just been published, Shep's Army, Bummers, Blisters, and Boondoggles. It's edited by Eugene Bergman, who joins us from New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, it's always great to talk about Gene Shepherd. I could do it by the hour and the day and the week.
Well, let's just take a few minutes, okay?
Okay.
First, let's try and differentiate fact from fiction. These essays aren't meant to be a literal memoir, are they?
No. In fact, whenever Gene Shepherd told stories, whether they were kid stories or Army stories, I believe they were just about totally fiction. What is true, I believe, is that he was so sensitive to his surroundings and to what was going on and what life was like that he knew what it was like to be a kid. He knew what it was like to be in the Army. And from knowing what it was like, he then created his fictional stories out of that.
Taking him at his word for just a moment, was he the only Druid in the U.S. Army?
So he claimed, and he got the little D on his dog tag for Druid.
We want to play another section where Gene Shepherd said he consulted a chaplain. Let's pick up that story midway.
And he sat there and looked at me for a long while, and I am telling him my story. And I'm playing it all the way. You know, I'm an old method sufferer. I suffer from inside. And a good sufferer, like a good Stanislavski actor, can reach hidden depths. He can dredge it out of his soul. I was sitting there today in the mess hall, and I'm talking away there, and I'm just wringing it out. I can just feel the scene. Any good actor can feel the scene. He knows when he's milking it. He can just feel it. There's the excitement that begins to come out, and the tears, actual real live crocodile tears, are pouring down my suntan cheeks. And my corporal stripes there are damp with the tears of humanity. And I'm crying away, and he's looking at me, and after a long pause, I said, "Well, Yahoo." I finish my story. He looks at me and he says, Well, I don't know whether I can say this on the radio, what he said. Remember, he was not only a chaplain, he was in the Army. And there are certain Army phrases. And this Army phrase consisted of two letters, the first one of which is a T. He shrugged his shoulders and says, "Well, send the next one in, Charlie. And I stood up. I says, "Is that all?" He says, "Yep."
As you note, Gene Shepherd wound up going to code school. With the advantage of hindsight, do you think that had anything to do with lighting his literary imagination?
Well, he loved to talk, whether it was talking on the air, on the radio, talking after hours on his ham radio set, or just talking to people in general, and he would give them a 45-minute story. He'd just keep going. He never stopped.
You know, it's hard for us to sit here in a couple of studios and not recollect the fact that if somebody came to a program director these days and said, just open the mic at 9 o'clock each night and I'll talk for 3 hours, they wouldn't say, oh, I can't wait. What a brilliant idea. They would say, that's ridiculous. This has to go through focus group. This has to go through planning sessions. Who the hell are you anyway? What do we make of that?
Well, later in life, when Gene Shepherd was asked if he thought he would ever like to go back on the radio, he commented that times have indeed changed, and he really did not think that anyone would give him that kind of freedom. And I think that's probably fairly true. There may be some shock jocks who have a different kind of freedom than he had, but they could not really give him the kind of time to just come out with his attitudes, his musings about life, and his gentle humor in the way that he did for several decades.
Eugene Bergman. He's edited a new collection of Gene Shepherd's stories, Shep's Army, Bummers, Blisters, and Boondoggles. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking, is it over already? I really enjoyed this so much. And as I've said, I always say I could talk about Gene Shepherd for hours. And thank you for having me on.